Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for spending a little bit of your Thursday morning with us. Lorenzo Neal, Dan Dibley, Joe Fortenbaugh. Mornings with Joe Lowe and Dibs 95.7 The Game. Warriors assistant general manager Travis Schlenk in a couple minutes. We've got the roommate draft coming up as well. Now, we touched on this morning, but here's how this works. We are all headed to Vegas sometime later today, whether it be in the afternoon, whether it be in the evening. We'll be there through Sunday. We're looking to hang out with you guys if you're coming down for the Ward Kovalev fight. But we're not 100% positive if we have our own rooms, if we're going to be sharing rooms. So we're doing a roommate draft. You will be weighing in as well. Text line 95795, phone number 888-957-9570. Vegas, Dibs.
Yeah,
Vegas.
I cannot wait. Can't wait to settle into that bus seat, hear the click of the seat belt.
Hey, you so crazy, dog. You're crazy.
Can't wait to find me a good aisle seat, click in, talk to my neighbor for 9 hours and 14 minutes. Next thing you know, my bus pulls up, and I'm in Vegas, Lolo.
I'll come grab you off that bus, buddy.
What's your game of choice in the City of Cities?
As far as, like, gambling games? Or
no, Dibs, in terms of board games. You like Battleship, you like Sorry, you like Monopoly.
Joe, if you would learn...
Trick question. I caught him off guard with the
trick
question.
Can I get a direct question?
Get him, Dibs.
Can I get a direct question? My favorite game? Pocket pool. Next question,
golly,
please. I'm a big... No, that's not a drop. How dare you?
I'm not looking for a drop. I'm getting ready to fire the update.
Roulette, Joe. I'm a roulette guy. Jeez. I can't even answer the question anymore. Warriors win their fifth straight, Joe. 127-121 over the Raptors. Steph Curry being Steph.
92-86 Warriors. 43 seconds to go in the third. It's going to be a great fourth quarter. Curry down to Durant. Durant low right. Shot clock at 10. Finds Curry. Stops and pops a jumper. It's good again. It's another three for Curry.
Steph Curry is a pretty good shooter, Joe. That's my room temperature take for the day.
You know, right there leading the charge with 35 points. 30 from Kevin Durant last night. But it was Andre Iguodala coming off the bench, going plus 15 in 25 minutes. His defense set the tone in a second quarter that closed out with a 21-4 Golden State Warrior run.
Warriors assistant GM Travis Schlenk joins us from the road coming up in moments. Story number two, week 11 in the NFL gets going tonight. Thursday night football. New Orleans is at Carolina. The Raider Nation getting set for a Monday date in Mexico City. TJ Carey expects to see a lot of silver and a lot of black.
You know, I think the fans are going to be so excited and so stoked just to be there and have that environment that it's just going to be loud the whole game. And so we're expecting that, and the energy will be able to feed off of it as well.
Lo, what do you think about the Raider Nation in Mexico City?
Oh, my God. I can't wait for Monday Night Football. Watching the Raiders take over Mexico City, it's going to be a doozy. That's right, a doozy of a game.
And we will be live from Pick 6 in Pleasanton starting at 6 a.m. Story number three, Sharks game 5 out of 6 on their road trip is tonight in St. Louis. The update brought to you by Nissan. Get to Nissan's Go Rogue year-end event today for special Black Friday savings on the new 2017 Rogue. Take on any galaxy. Shop your local Nissan store and choose Nissan.com today. I'm Dan Dibley on your new home of the Warriors, 95.7 The Game.
Good stuff, Dibs. All Warrior guests always sound better if you are wearing JBL headphones, the official sound of the Golden State Warriors and 95.7 The Game. With that in mind, we'd like to welcome on Warriors assistant general manager Travis Schlenk to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Travis. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're hanging in there, and we appreciate you taking some time out of your day to speak with us. Last night, the Warriors take down Toronto in the first of a four-game road trip. What did you think about Drake getting up in everyone's business all throughout the night? Do you think this might be something the NBA looks into in terms of trying to limit perhaps some of this? I mean, he was pretty aggressive with some of the guys on the roster.
I doubt it. You know, he's friendly with a lot of our guys. He's been courtside at several of our games already this year, and I know last night. I believe they had a few gatherings around Toronto that Drake sponsored for our guys, too. So I don't think the NBA is going to get too hard on him.
Draymond Green looking very good in all facets of the game, and report now that he wants to pursue being Defensive Player of the Year. Does he have the skill set to be that good of a defender, Travis?
Well, you know, he finished second last year to Kawhi Leonard, so it's no surprise. You know, he's got the ability with his length and strength to play big guys in the post, but he's got the agility and foot speed to be able to guard guys on the perimeter. So he's obviously very versatile, and he's got a great feel for the game, good hands. So, yeah, he's got a chance to be up there for sure.
When you were scouting him at Michigan State and you imagined him as an NBA player, how far has he surpassed even what you thought his upside could be?
The biggest thing, you know, that I think that Draymond's done is he's changed his body. You know, Michigan State, he was heavy. He's lost weight, and that has made him a little quicker. It gives him the ability to go out there and guard those guys. You know, at Michigan State, the problem was a lot of guys talked about, you know, what's he going to be? Is he going to be 3? Is he a 4? Because of his size, he's the quote-unquote classic tweener. But he's really, to answer your question, he's, you know, really surpassed all the expectations that we've had for him, and it's obviously paid off well for us as a franchise.
Travis, I know it's early in the season, not a lot of games been played, but what did you kind of learn about the ball club last night and you know, playing against a team that everyone knows it's going to be a playoff team? How'd they do, in your opinion?
Yeah, no, listen, hey, other than the Spurs, that was probably the second best team we played so far. And to go in there on the road and get a win in a tough place to play, you know, that's good. Obviously, we've shown spurts, you know, spurts where we can just really take the game over. You know, we're still struggling to maintain the focus, so to speak. But, you know, once we get there, you know, hopefully we'll do well the rest of the way.
Travis Schlenk, Golden State Warriors assistant general manager with Joe Lowndes here on 95.7 The Game. Earlier in the week, what goes through your mind first when you hear a, quote, report that Klay Thompson may be on his way to the Boston Celtics?
You know, I laugh the first thing I did. And then, you know, then we have to go into damage control. You know, we've got to talk to Klay and tell him there's no truth to this. You know, we have to call his agent and say, listen, I don't know where this is coming from. And, you know, as it turns out, you know, they're coming from places that have no source or credibility really whatsoever. So, but listen, rumors are part of the game. Obviously, some of the rumors will have merit. This one just happens to be one that didn't have any merit.
How exactly does that process work? So you hear this on radio, see it on TV, what have you, and then you realize, all right, this is completely false, but we don't want there to be a problem with the player or anything in the locker room. So you make the call to Klay, and how does Klay respond when he hears from you guys?
You know, Klay's good. You know, he didn't have any real concerns. He just kind of laughed about it too. You know, that's, you know, the problem now with the world of social media. You know, everybody's got a voice, and you can put anything out there you want to, and it becomes a story. You know, we haven't seen that at all in politics at all recently either. So
yeah, we haven't seen much of that anywhere. Travis Schlenk joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Tough matchup for Zaza Pachulia last night, going up against Jonas Valanciunas. How do you think he did in that matchup, and how is he progressing mainly in the defensive end for this Warrior team?
Yeah, I thought he did well last night. You know, the first few minutes, you know, he picked up a few fouls, but, you know, especially when he went back in later in the first half and the second half, I thought he played well. You know, it's hard, and this is going to sound funny, but it's hard to go out there with those guys, you know, four all-stars and try to fit in and figure out where you're going to get your shots and when you're going to get your shots. But, you know, he's positionally, defensively, he's getting more comfortable in our systems. You know, it's a little different than what they did in Dallas, obviously. So he's been fine. You know, he's a great guy, and he's doing whatever is asked of him. So,
how's everything going with rookie first-round pick Damian Jones down there in Santa Cruz? He coming along okay?
He actually is going to be going down there Sunday. He'll fly back from Indianapolis on Sunday, and he'll practice with the guys down there in Santa Cruz Monday through Thursday. And then they have a home game down there in Santa Cruz on Friday night, so he'll play in that game. And then we'll kind of readjust and see where we are from there. But as far as how he's doing great. He's been playing a little 3-on-3 with our guys. You know, obviously he's a little rusty, having not played since last March, you know, pick up or organized basketball, but he's physically doing fine. and had no setbacks. So everything looks good so far.
Steve Kerr using a lot more players off the bench than certainly I would have expected him to. Is this a case of him just trying to find his best rotation early on in the year?
Yeah, I mean, he played a lot of guys last year, too. That's one thing that Steve's shown, you know, his first 3 years is he's not scared to play 11 guys. You know, most coaches are going to play eight. He likes to keep guys engaged. You know, talking with Steve about it, when he played with Pop, you know, he said there'd be some games when he wouldn't play at all, you know, for three or four games, and all of a sudden Pop would throw him in there. And, you know, Steve believes that keeps guys on their toes, keeps them ready. So even if it's just, you know, for a couple minutes, he'll throw a guy out there just for a couple minutes, just to keep them on their toes. So in case we do need them to come in and play 20 minutes, they'll be ready to go for sure.
Golden State Warriors assistant general manager Travis Schlank with Joe Lowen Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Travis, thank you so much for your time. Have a great weekend. We look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right, no problem, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Warrior guests always sound better if you're wearing JBL headphones, the official sound of the Golden State Warriors and 95.7 The Game. And a reminder, if you're ever looking to tickets for Warriors home games, always available at warriors.com. In the event of a sellout, there are always last-minute holds and secondary tickets for resale available at warriors.com. All right, those 25 pieces of paper can now be moved to the side.
Yeah, you got a lot of paper that you shuffle over there, Joe, and I got to commend you. You do a good job of keeping
it
all straight.
Hell of a job. You flow, man. You flow.
I'd say average to slightly above average. Maybe like a two-tool radio host.
Oh, no, Joe. You're good. Better than that.
So we're taking this show. Well, thank you for chiming in. I'm glad you're... See, you know what I like to call this right here? This is the Loneal getting antsy.
Yeah.
You'll
He's
see
itchy.
This on Fridays around 8:45. Stands up. You got to go to the bathroom?
He's itchy.
Yeah.
He's itchy.
You like? Go ahead. Go ahead. No one wants to put you in a tough spot.
No.
It's okay.
Go ahead.
You do
go
what
ahead.
You gotta do.
Just don't take a dibs.
Yeah, you got.
Oh.
Anna going below the belt. No one dibs. What makes it dangerous is she knows you can't fire back.
It's just that's dirty pool is what that is. You know, the only card I have to play is the how do you think you got your job card, and that's become so tired. I'm not going to play that card.
It's a strong one.
I'm not going to even mention. I'm just going to take my beating from young Anna Kagadakis. And I'm going to continue to hold what I've been building up since about 6:15.
You know, it's fascinating.
Fascinating.
He actually took me up on the whole, you can go to the bathroom right now. It's not like I'm in charge of your bladder, but, you know, we do segments. And I'm saying this mostly because I know he can hear me in the bathroom. We do segments here. It's nothing's really off guard. You know what time you need to just have yourself under control by. Remarkable. It's just remarkable.
But we're an open book here, so if somebody's got to go, when you got to go, when nature calls, you got to answer, Jody.
He's looking at me like, I really have to go to the bathroom. Oh, okay. Well, since it's kindergarten, you raised your hand, and you go relieve yourself, and you come back with the hall pass, and then we'll get back to the lesson
but
at hand.
Even when Lo is out of the room, Joe, deep down, he's really still with us.
To wrong his rights.
It's actually the opposite. Even when he's in the room, he's really not with us.
To wrong his rights. To wrong his rights.
So this is something new?
Yes.
To wrong his rights?
Instead of righting his wrongs, he was trying to wrong his rights, which...
Ferocious.
Yeah. I mean, love you, Lo. I'm real tough playing embarrassing drops when he's out of the room, by the way.
That's on him. All right. So gonna have a little fun here. 888-957-9570. Text lines 95795. We're leaving for Vegas. Ward Kovalev, Saturday night HBO pay-per-view. T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. We'll be setting up shop tomorrow morning, doing the show live from the MGM Grand. We're arriving in a variety of manners and times later today. We'll be there through Sunday. So anyone coming down, check us out on social media, all of our Twitter accounts, as well as the 95.7 The Game account. Sometime on Saturday, we'll find a location that we can meet up for some drinks before the fight and after the fight, assuming, you know, everyone's 21. Now, we got that all out of the way. We aren't sure whether or not we have our own rooms at the Grand or if we are rooming with one another. So our theory was, why don't we come up with a roommate draft that the listeners could weigh in on? Who of this group, myself, Dibley, Lorenzo, and our producer, Cody, who picture... Alan from The Hangover, pretty much looks like that. Very similar to that. And if you had to draft in order, who would you be going with? What reasons would you want a room with that person? What reasons would you not want a room with anybody? 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Text line 95795. Lo Neal, bladder clear, back in studio.
Back
nice
in the building.
You. And that leads us to today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, fellas. Today's question, which morning show personality would you rather room with? Joe Fortenbaugh, Lorenzo Neal, Dan Dibley, or our producer, Cody Elias? As of right now, 95.7thegame.com, 58% of the voters are going with Lolo.
Hallelujah.
17% for Joe Fortenbaugh, 13% for Dan Dibley, 13%.
Joe's making a push!
Cody Elias. Also, you could vote on Twitter at 957thegame, and there, 53% of the voters for Low, 35% for Dibs, 10% for Joe,
yeah,
and 2% for Cody.
2%? 2% Gary Johnson? 2% in there?
I see Al Borland there.
You know, it's like a cherry on top of a pile of poo.
You've got to be having a hell of a run if you're going to room with Cody. You've got to be having a hell of a run, because if you make any mistakes, if anything goes against you, he's going to bring it up. And he's going to make you feel terrible. Happened to me in Arizona. Long night out on the town. We were rooming together. Wake up. The first thing my eyes focus on is the alarm clock. And all I wanted to do was have brunch in Arizona. That was the only thing I wanted to do. There was this one place I found that was supposed to be awesome. I needed to be there at 10, had the reservation, opened the eyes. It's 10:30.
Ooh.
So I missed brunch. So that's the first reaction I have to the day is, oh, my God. And as I'm saying that, my eyes pan 2 inches to the left.
Yeah.
There's Cody sitting on the edge of his bed.
Oh, my.
Just staring at me. Staring at me as I sleep. So now I'm creeped out. So now I move to the emotions from upset to creeped out. And before I can even be creeped out, the next thing out of his mouth, or the first thing out of his mouth is, you spent $800 last night. And boom, just like that, my entire day, weekend, and trip to spring training had been ruined. So 2%, whoever's crazy enough to be voting for Borland back there, it's a vote wasted. Vote wasted, Dibs.
It's a vote wasted.
Yeah,
so how did you spend $800? Did you have somebody who was just buying drinks on your tab?
Everybody. And that's why it's interesting to see the huge vote in favor of Lo Neal, because you better hope your name's not on that room. He's going to charge room service to you. You better hope you got your wallet in your pocket, or he's going to be taking it down to get some dinner.
I'm charging it to John Black.
John Black?
Mm-hmm.
That's the name
move
on the route, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's his road name, his pseudonym, as it were?
In the Pro Bowl, that's what I did, because everyone would charge stuff to people's rooms, so you make sure they don't have your name. So I went AKA John Black.
AKA. I'd have to go with, like, Billy Red or something, or Kevin Orange, or I don't know.
Carrot Top.
That works. That
John
works
Black
for me.
Jason Carrot.
That's right. Cowboy coach, Jason Carrot.
Lo, did you use an alias like that during the regular season, or was it just the Pro Bowl?
No, just Pro Bowl. Regular season, you're not worried about it. Guys are trying to worry about winning a football game. Pro Bowl, guys are having fun, having a great time at the pool, and your account would be just, like, outrageous.
I was John Black.
Johnny Black. Can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong at all. My wife did give me one good piece of advice, though, as it pertains to this roommate thing. She said, whatever you do, don't tell Lo what room number you have, because she heard the Peyton Manning story about how you and Peyton stuck it to that poor rookie.
I would never do that to your wife. She's got a beautiful voice. She sang the song for us. Tell Mama where she's good. She's
will
in good
do
hands.
She's listening right now. Right. Big fan of Lo Neal's.
We love her, too. Big fan of hers.
Tougher to pull that off in Vegas. You call down on the phone, it knows what room you're in. And if you try to do it at the pool, you've got to show verification. They'll look you up very quickly. A lot of tomfoolery going on in Sin City. They've not their first rodeo.
Sure.
Not their first rodeo. Maybe at Hawaii, bunch of rich, famous slicksters trying to get one up on another.
Absolutely.
No one's going to look too far into it, but Vegas is going to be difficult to pull that off.
I wanted to ask you, Joe, your feelings approaching this fight that we're going to as far as the undercard goes. And this goes to
couldn't tell you a single fighter on the undercard.
Okay, so that kind of answers my question. Will you go to any of the fights? I don't know anyone on the undercard either, but I enjoy boxing. I enjoy live boxing. So I would go to undercard fights even if I didn't know who was on there.
I might know someone who's on there. I just haven't seen it published anywhere. See, the biggest problem boxing has is that, number one, unlike UFC, they don't sell you on the undercards because they're not trying to put great fights on the undercards. This is the biggest fight of the year. Warden Kovalev is the fight everyone's been looking forward to. It is the biggest main attraction draw of this calendar year. It might be the best fight of the year. Sometimes you never know how that's going to shake down. I think this thing's going the distance. I think you're going to have a very strategic fight on behalf of Andre Ward, and he's going to frustrate Kovalev in a really big spot. But they never hype the undercard. Boxing never does that because they never want to put big talents on the undercard. That's why MMA one of their reasons why they've been able to move past boxing in the last few years. They're going to give you a card of names of six fights all the way through, and you're going to want to watch all of them. Boxing comes down to a situation where you really only want to see the main event because you don't know anyone on the undercard because they don't promote these guys well enough throughout the year. I haven't seen it. Like, I'll know that Ronda Rousey's on an undercard somewhere.
Right.
They'll sell you on that. You go, damn, Ronda's not even the main event. Or vice versa with another fighter, like, who knows if it's one of the Diaz brothers or Aldo, whoever it may be. You'll know that these guys are fighting, and then you won't know necessarily the order. That's why MMA succeeds. Boxing, we know the main event, but they haven't sold the concept of who's going to be on the undercard. Now, I'll go in and catch at least two fights before war.
Gotcha.
At least, because I want to see, because I love the sport. Maybe you find someone new you've never watched fight before, and you could be a new fan. I can tell you now that it comes to memory, Maurice Hooker is going to be fighting here. He's fought on at least the last two Andre Ward undercards, because both at Oracle, it could be two or it could be three. But at least the last two. He's out of Dallas, I believe. Mighty Mo, Maurice Hooker. He'll be on one of the undercards. That's a guy worth watching. Outside of that, I really can't tell you the rest. It's unfortunate. But that's one of the places where the sport comes up a bit short. They should sell you on a night of fighting rather than the main event. That way you could televise it a little bit longer, entice more people to watch. Just doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
And that's a good point, because UFC, too, they're going to give you 12 or even 14 bouts, whereas, you know, in this... it's boxing event, what, five or six bouts at the most is what you'll probably get?
You might get eight. It'll start really early in the afternoon. Like Andre's fights over at Oracle, they'll start 3:30, something like that, maybe 2:30 in the afternoon. You'll have guys that are, you might get some three-round fights, a couple four-round or six-round fights, and they'll steadily work their way up, but
yeah,
nothing's like the main event. It's the main event is just, there's such a gap between that and everything else.
Isn't that weird? Yeah, but we're going to get to see a great fight. I really believe that Andre's going to come out and have one of his better fights, because I think that Kovalev's going to make him fight. These are two guys that's going to, you know, that they're fighting for a title. I just can't wait to get there and check this one out, Joe. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be Ward by decision. I'm going to tell you exactly how it's going to go down right now. You can bet Ward, who's somewhere around minus 140, and you can bet the over, which I don't know if everyone's released that just yet, because books don't want to take a bath on that number too early. It's going to go the distance. It's going to be very similar to what you see in a Floyd Mayweather fight. If you're looking for multiple knockdowns and two guys standing in the middle of the ring, slugging each other with everything they've got, go to YouTube and look for Arturo Gatti versus Mickey Ward. Uh-huh. That's where you'll find that. Watch the trilogy. If you're looking for defensive prowess, if you're looking for strategy, if you're looking for one guy being that much smarter than the other, that much more cerebral, that's this fight. It's not going to have a high level of impact drama, but it's going to be a strategy session, and that's what's going to make it so great. Watching Andre work his angles, know when to sense that he's getting a little too close so he gets out of range. Very, very good at that. He being a more cerebral fighter than Kovalev, Kovalev will get frustrated by the middle rounds. Maybe he takes a couple unnecessary risks in rounds 8 and 9 and gets peppered up. But Andre's going to be cerebral, and ultimately he's going to win a decision. I'd like to say it's going to be a UD, but you never know with these judges.
Right.
You never know what they're watching. So split decision would be my ultimate prediction in favor of Andre Ward.
Will there be more scoring and more action than the Ram game last week in the 9-6 ball game?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank
you. You can, yes.
And Kolo's the type of fighter, though. He'll push the pace. You saw him what he did to B-Hop. See this guy, he'll push the pace, and he'll jump on you. So Ward is a technician who's good with his feet, knows how to turn and cut the angle, cut the ring off on you. But when you're putting this type of pressure, he's going to force him to fight at times. He's going to have to sit down. And Ward, he surprisingly doesn't hit hard, but like you talked about, Joe, the cumulative punches, he can hurt you through the body, can sit you down. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a standing eight count.
Now, I say all this, but I might not even make it. I might have too much to drink on Saturday, I might be asleep, or I could be lost somewhere.
Won't.
I could not find myself in Reno or at the Hoover Dam. Who knows?
Ward, wouldn't forgive you. I mean, Andre's a good friend of the show.
Yeah.
He comes on, he's your guy. He'd be disappointed if you didn't watch.
But that's me operating under the assumption I can trust myself to get through an entire Saturday in Vegas before the fight.
Well, you got Friday. Friday's going to be your hard day.
Friday, so we have work in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm talking about after your work, so you're not going to go.
Just want to throw the reminder out there to everybody.
Spoiler alert,
we are doing the show tomorrow morning.
That's what's going to make Saturday so much better for you, because you're going to ease into it, because Friday you probably pick it up a little bit. Saturday be kind of a little
chill.
No,
I'm looking to peak Saturday. I'm sorry.
God.
I'm looking to peak Saturday. If you peak Friday, how are you going to get through Saturday and then Sunday?
You rest. You're going to be at the pool Saturday? You're going to be at the pool, so you're not going to go too
Sorry,
hard.
I got to get to brunch on Saturday morning. I've got to get my action in. I might want to get to the pool. You got to move throughout the day. There's a lot going on with college football. I don't know what you're talking about, rest and relaxing. Yeah. Have you been to Vegas before, son? This isn't Hawaii, son. This isn't Boca Raton, son.
And I'm not the same person I used to be.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, Saturday it all starts at 4:30 a.m., so get your sleep. Man U and Arsenal at Old Trafford. We're getting down for that for sure.
I was told Beat the Bookie might include a six-team soccer parlay.
It just might. We may do that one straight to video, straight to web. I don't know if the over-the-air audience can handle that as we break down Watford and Crystal Palace.
All right. Some very intriguing news is just beginning to find its way onto the internet and around the country. We're going to confirm this, and we're going to bring this to you next. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Susan Slusser from the San Francisco Chronicle doing absolutely fantastic work. That's Susan Slusser from the San Francisco Chronicle. Here is what she's reporting. Lou Wolf, the longtime managing partner of the A's ownership group, is stepping away from that role and selling most of his stake in the club to the team's other owners, the Chronicle has learned. Susan goes on to report, the move is expected to be announced later today. John Fisher, the majority partner, will take over as managing partner. In addition, Susan reports, Michael Crowley will move from team president to a senior advisor to the ownership group. The new A's team president will be Dave Cavall, who is currently president the San Jose Earthquakes. Crowley has been the A's president for the past 19 years. Wolf, who served as managing partner for 11 years, will become the A's chairman emeritus. This is all from Susan Slusser of the San Francisco Chronicle. Dynamite reporting. Go out and buy yourself a paper today. Support the cause, ladies and gentlemen. So, Lou Wolf, Dibs.
Yes, and this is that last piece you threw in there is really remarkable to me because Dave did such great things with the San Jose Earthquakes. What did he do for the San Jose Earthquakes, you ask? He built them a stadium. The Earthquakes were at Santa Clara University when they came back from Houston. The Oakland Athletics own the San Jose Earthquakes, Lou Wolf, John Fisher, and company. So they bring Dave Cavall in, who has done so well for the Earthquakes, to build them a stadium and improve the product. And now you have Lou Wolf stepping aside. Mike Crowley moves up. You bring in Cavall, and what has he done well? He's built the stadium. So for me, this is good news on a number of fronts. One, from a PR standpoint, the fan base's number one scapegoat forever has been Lou Wolf. Everything bad about the way they run it is Lou Wolf this and Lou Wolf that. He's now removed from the equation, and the second piece is you bring in this young executive, Stanford-educated Dave Cavall, who can come in and hopefully jumpstart this A's stadium idea. I think this is wonderful news for the A's.
I'll tell you one other thing to keep an eye on. The collective bargaining agreement that's about to take place between MLB and the union. Remember, CBA is about to run out. These two sides are going to be coming to the table. And one thing that concerns A's management is the fact that MLB is no longer, let's say, interested in watching the A's spend very little money to cash in on the luxury tax. They were grandfathered into the rule, and they were able to cash, I think, $37 million in revenue they brought in last year from other teams exceeding that tax.
Sure.
And that's a way they've done business. Keep the payroll low and then cash in as a, quote, small market club. Major League Baseball is done with that. And whether or not they do something in the CBA, the earlier reports from a few weeks ago were that the A's were put on notice. We might not make any necessary rules changes that force you to spend, but we're watching you and you're on notice. You better start spending. Now, the A's countered with the best argument you could give them. Hey, we still spent above that $37 million. Right around the neighborhood of $80, $85 million. And in addition to that, we were a playoff team 3 years in a row prior to the last 2 years. So why are you getting on us? A legitimate concern, but MLB is not happy with the approach this team has taken because they sell the concept of small market club, but how small market is the East Bay, especially when the argument against Vegas for the Raiders is that the East Bay has so many more people.
Right, and not just that, Joe, players. Players want change. You got to realize you have a lot. I mean, guys aren't going to say anything. You got a lot of unhappy players on that team, in that clubhouse, that want this organization, the A's, that is, to spend. And I think that it's going to put more pressure as well on Billy Beane too, Billy Ball. So we'll get to see. We'll get to see what happens also, not just with the players, but as far as this management, to see what's going to happen and see what players are going to bring in, and does this system still work? Because I tell you, Oakland A's and the fans, they're at a point. Do they want some change?
Again, Susan Slusser from the San Francisco Chronicle doing dynamite work. Lou Wolf out as A's managing partner. New role for Michael Crowley, too. You can find it on the website as well as her Twitter account. She's doing a bang-up job today.
Yes, she is. And the A's, Joe, have also now released a statement. Included in it is a quote from Lou Wolf. And he says, quote, "It has been an honor serving as managing general partner. And I thank our fans, staff, and players for the opportunity I've had to lead this great organization." Wolf goes on to say, John Fisher, and I have talked in great length about the future of this club, and I am ready to pass the reins to him. So for the first time now, John Fisher, who has been seen as the big money partner of the two partners, now he steps into the spotlight. Michael Crowley, who's been there for 20 years as president, he transitions from day-to-day operations up, and they bring in Dave Cavill. So for the first time in maybe 15 years since this ownership group took over the team, you have real change at the top.
It's a great opportunity for the A's to sell the idea of a new direction, of a new future, of a new way of doing business. I think most of us would agree that the fan base has become a little tired of the way things have played out the last few years. That's understandable. Every team's going to go through its ups. Every team's going to go through its downs, unless you're the Cleveland Browns. You'll just always be down. But the A's have been up several times. This is a period where they're down. And fans are noticeably frustrated. It's understandable, especially when popular players are sent elsewhere for guys you don't necessarily know. This right here sends the message that, hey, we're doing things a bit differently. But despite the front office managerial shakeup, will this actually lead to a different philosophical approach in terms of A, spending, and B, where you'll be playing your home games?
Well, I'll start with B first, okay, because I know Dave Cavill very well. I did play-by-play for the Earthquakes. I was their sideline reporter.
Award-winning, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I won an Emmy and then lost the job. That's neither here nor there for this conversation.
Well, I'll tell you what. This room, very, very prominent in the sports world. Between all of us, we've got 4 Pro Bowls and an Emmy, so we're just balling out in here.
There you go.
Balling.
There you go. I would trade my 1 Emmy for your 4 Pro Bowls, by the way.
Whoa, who said he's got all 4 Pro Bowls? I said the room has 4.
The room, right.
I apologize, Anna.
2 Emmys over here as well?
That's right, 2 Emmys.
2?
Mm-hmm. Emmy scoreboard.
Get some.
Emmy. Can I get an Emmy? Here's the quote from Dave Cavill, Joe.
Yeah, now that we're done patting each other on the back.
Yeah, you want to bet once, so we'll give you some props for that. That one time he had a winning week, but I digest, as Lowe would say. Dave Cavill says, quote, "Given my long-standing love of baseball and my experience building Avaya Stadium, where the Earthquakes play, I am enthusiastic to join the Athletics as the club pursues a world-class ballpark in Oakland for the best fans in baseball." That quote, to me, is the biggest piece of good news that comes out of this, because you bring in a guy who has built a stadium. Oh, by the way, privately financed stadium, $100 million soccer stadium, granted, is not a $500 million baseball stadium.
Still something.
He's done it. He's got pelts on the wall, though, and he's a guy who took the Quakes from a baseball stadium. They were playing soccer in a baseball field, basically, to a state-of-the-art Avaya Stadium. So this is great news.
North America's largest outdoor bar.
Correct.
Largest.
Correct.
Wow. Yes.
At Avaya Stadium.
And I'll tell you, if it were the
smallest, I wouldn't be hyping it up.
Jody. But I tell you what, I don't think the A's are going to have a problem necessarily with their stadium getting built. I think that you see the mayor and you hear what's going on, the rumblings. It's a positive notion that the A's, they want their A's to stay there. So the A's aren't going anywhere. We know that. I think that's a foregone conclusion. I think that they look at how many games they play. They like it. They know that there's more revenue. So you hear the mayor, you hear the different A's, the different things that's coming out of there. They're going to be here. I think it's also, I think more that it needs to happen is more spending on players and have a better product. I think that's the big deal.
Anna, you came up an A's fan, and you became a journalist, so you do your best to remain impartial, because that's exactly what the job requires. You do an excellent job of that. But if you were able to revert back to the days coming up as an A's fan, you hear this news. Is it exciting news? Is it frustrating news? Is it confusing news? Like, where do you land on this?
Right now, it's something that kind of gives you hope. The idea of you bring in somebody who has built a stadium, who has that experience, and you got change. Sometimes you just need something fresh, something change, and just to kind of get it out there and see what happens.
Well, there you go. Susan Slusser from the San Francisco Chronicle doing a dynamite job. Lou Wolf out as A's managing partner. New role for Michael Crowley, too. People getting excited about the talk of a new stadium, possibly a new budget. A lot of this is, there are a lot of moving parts with this franchise, but right now I guess we're feeling like this is positive news today. I mean, Lou Wolf's taking a beating on the text line, 95795, but we all take beatings on the text line from time to time. I don't think I've ever come out ahead on the text line, quite frankly. So, Lou, it's okay.
Yeah, and I think Lou's going to be fine at the end of the day. He's got a little bit of money, and he's gonna be able to do okay. I've talked to Lou Wolf a number of times. And
name-dropping dibs.
Well, you know, when you work for the Quakes and he's there pitch side, you interview him as a sideline reporter and all that other stuff, Joe. And really, he's not a guy who's been too deterred by all the negative publicity. It hasn't really affected him. So,
people asking how this news could affect the Raiders as it pertains to a new stadium. If the A's are able to find a location and get moving in the direction they want to move for a new stadium, that would free up the Coliseum, would it not? And if the Coliseum becomes free, wouldn't that create an opportunity for Ronnie Lott's group or perhaps someone else to come in and possibly purchase the land and begin the process of getting a new stadium for the Raiders on that location?
Absolutely, and I think an even bigger point is the signal it would send to other NFL owners who are going to vote on Raiders potentially going to Las Vegas. If the A's suddenly are no longer a burr in the saddle of Mark Davis, they're going to be less likely to vote yes to him going to Vegas. If they become a one-tenant team at the Coliseum, other owners are going to be more likely to say, look, we'll give you some money from the G4 fund or the G5 fund, so you stay, you have to stay there.
They're going to stay. You know,
who's that?
The Raiders. I think it's a good thing for A's to get their own stadium. Joe, you alluded to it, and so did you, Dibs. You talked about through the NFL and baseball. This is one of the only places that they share a stadium still. It's not good.
Lowe's got a hot take on the college football playoff. That will be one of many, many things we're about to address.
Oh, my.
You won't see it coming. Joe, Lowe, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Right, like now, back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Got a whole
lot of money that's ready to burn. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Can you feel it?
Oh, my God.
Can you feel it, Lolo?
So jealous.
Didn't you feel it?
Can you feel it?
This is how Vegas works. And welcome back, Joe, Lowe, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Have you ever noticed the difference? And I'm not sure if it's noticeable on the West Coast because it's such a short flight to Las Vegas. Uh-huh. But if you ever fly to Vegas from the East Coast, the difference in flights in versus flights out, remarkable. Coming in from the East Coast, Philly, New York, Boston, that flight is the happiest place on earth.
Rocking.
Everyone's friends with one another. Everyone's having drinks. You got people reading their blackjack books, people playing cards, people switching seats, everyone's friends. And with 45 minutes to go, there's cheering, it's loud, and as you land, everyone's celebrating. It's the one flight on earth where people will get their asses up and off the plane in a reasonable time fashion. It's the only place, because everyone wants to get to the strip and start partying. The flight home is a funeral procession.
Yes! Yes!
People late on the flight, people in sweats, girls with makeup running down their face because they were crying the night before and didn't take a shower.
Still got the high
hairs
heels
everywhere
on.
And the heels. You got the dudes who are just reeking of booze, covered in puke. Everyone's lost money. Everyone sits down and passes out. Everyone's a train wreck for the flight home. It's a funeral procession on the way home. It's a bachelor party on the way out.
It's a little different here because it is such a short flight, but the one trend you will see here is, especially for the weekends, your flight to Vegas may have a large number of attractive females going to put in a little bit of weekend work, if you know what I mean.
That's the San Diego flight.
Yes,
the
also
San Diego
LA.
Thursday night flight is the greatest flight in the world. I was going out to play in a poker tournament once when I was in law school. I was on that. It was like, man, Thursday at 5.
Dang.
You're looking around the flight. You're like, what is with all this? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll catch you at the Rhino at 2 a.m.
Jody,
you crazy. I'd come on with my Bible.
Yeah, because I'm the only one thinking that.
No, I would come on with my Bible.
Of course. Oh. You're a crazy horse guy. I get it. Sorry, go ahead.
We're betting on the horses? I don't even understand that.
We're placing the Derby.
Pony Daddy.
Yeah, that's kind of the difference, though, in the flights, Joe. But, yeah, looking forward to it. Getting ready to get out to Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas.
Really? The Bay Area has that Thursday night flight?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
It's not quite as powerhouse as your L.A. or your San Diego. But ultimately, especially like when you have the big conventions come to Vegas, you've got certain talented workforces going to Vegas from all across this great nation of ours.
Update from the Puma. Apparently, there's a Carpenters Union convention. Carpenters Union convention this weekend. As he got on the plane to fly from Chicago to Vegas, that's what he noticed.
It's a random convention.
Yeah.
Carpenters Union? Carpenter. Everything's there.
Wow.
Name a convention, they all go there.
Nice.
That's true.
They have the electronics is the big one there, right? And the...
I think it's CES.
Yes.
Is at the beginning of the year. The porn convention is huge.
Yeah.
The rodeo is a huge event.
Real estate. Beauty convention. They have, you're right. They have everything.
Beauty convention's huge over there, too.
That brought everything to a halt.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking around the room, and I'm realizing if I throw it, I'm going to get 3 seconds back, so I can just keep going, and we'll figure it out from there.
I will say the last time I went to Vegas, there was a firefighter convention going on about like 2 weeks worth.
Okay, look at you. Look at you perk up all of a sudden.
Lo, break this down for me. College football playoff rankings. Bama 1, Ohio State 2, Michigan 3, Clemson 4. Outside looking in, Louisville 5, Washington 6. I got a problem with Michigan at 3. I said this yesterday and earlier in the week because they were 3 going in. They were a 21-point favorite at Iowa.
Right.
They lost outright as a 21-point favorite, and they didn't budge. So explain to me how that works.
You're absolutely right in the way that you're looking at it, Joe. You're saying, hey, look, they're a 21-point favorite. They should not be in the top four. You're absolutely right. But this is what the BCS, I think they got it right. You have Ohio State. You think about who the coach is there. You think about who's the coach in Michigan. So by having these two teams in, one of them's out. Whoever wins that game, one of them's out. And what does that do to number five? Oh, who's at five? Louisville. So you guarantee Louisville gets in. And if you look at four loses, what does that do for Washington? That puts Washington right back in. So it's a pretty – I like the system, how it works. So the way that they do it, it's illusion. They want everyone to talk about it. Like you said, everyone's talking about these teams. They know that these teams maybe shouldn't. Well, they just eliminated one for you right away. Ohio State or Michigan will not be in the Final Four.
I think you're making a grave mistake overlooking number 8, Penn State.
I knew you were going to go there.
Front runners to win the Big Ten East,
coach,
over Michigan and over Ohio State.
Come on, coach. Do you really think Penn State going to win the Big Ten, coach? I know
they're in the driver's seat. Who's more likely to win the Ohio State-Michigan game?
Yeah.
Michigan probably.
All you have to do, I know who's more likely to win it. Ohio State's a 6.5-point favorite
Ohio
there at
State.
Home.
Oh, that's at Ohio State.
Ohio
yeah.
State.
Right. Okay.
So we'd say Ohio State. Okay. Yes. Ohio State beating Michigan wins the tiebreaker for Penn State. So Penn State has a patsy this weekend. Then they have a really down Michigan State team. They win those two games, and Ohio State beats Michigan. Penn State wins the East. That's how it works. They're in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
You could see Penn State in the Final Four, which is what you want. America wants Penn State in the Final Four. Now, you think I'm crazy, and you think because I went there, I'm selling you on false promises. You want Penn State in the Final Four. You want them at spot four. You want them against Alabama, and then you want to lay whatever that spread is on the tie, 401k, they will steamroll Penn State.
True.
Book it. Waves in the face. Penn State will be trying to swim from Alcatraz, but unlike Burns, they're not going to make it to the shore.
Oh,
the
my.
Sharks are going to get them.
You're right there.
That's what you're
There's
looking for.
Waves, huge-ass waves hitting you in the face. Just boom.
Do we have an update on the roommate rankings from Las Vegas? The listeners have spoken, and they would decide that out of all of us, who would they end up choosing to as their roommate in the roommate draft for
Vegas?
Well,
the biggest one on both sides of the board between 957thegame.com and also on Twitter at 957thegame, Lorenzo Neal took home the majority of the votes, 53%.
Wow.
And I'm looking right here on Twitter.
That's a good vote. I've roomed with Lo several times. There aren't a lot of problems there. He's easy to get along with. He's a good time.
Generous with his money.
And you know what, Joe?
No, but we all have our faults.
You know what, Joe? And everyone tried to destroy me, and I just sep Anna. She was like, but I just go with it, and I am. I'm a nice guy. Joe, to be honest, Dibs, I wouldn't room with you. You got mud butt all the time. You stink. Joe is a good roommate. Joe's not. He said, hey, what do you want? I mean, he's really laid back. I'm telling you, Joe's a gym when roommate. We just sit. He goes to bed. I go to bed. It's He takes, you know,
it's generally what happens in a hotel room.
I'm starting to feel really bad.
People go to bed.
You know what, Anna, don't.
But I love dips, though. I love dips.
It's a classic case of the two veterans trying to haze the rook, and that's fine. You know, I'm the new guy in the show. I'm out here carrying the both of them Monday through Friday, so this is their chance to get back to me. That's fine.
I might change my mind.
JT the Brick is coming up next. He's got Susan Slusser at 10:15, Andy Benoit at 11:15, Andy Dolich at 11:30 for Anna for Loaf for Dibs. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you in Vegas if you're going down. We'll catch you tomorrow from 6 to 10 a.m. if you're not. Have a good one, everybody.
How about that ride in? I guess that's why they call it Sin City. Ha ha ha.